Gamecast from MSN.
Well, hello and welcome to your November MSN Tech and Gadgets Gamecast. I'm Jane Douglas, this is Nick Taylor.
Hello.
And Ian Lee, obviously.
Sorry, it feels like it's Christmas, doesn't it? I tell you what, it partly feels like Christmas because we're recording this in the evening, but quite early in the evening and it's really dark outside. Mm. And also because of Charles Martinet being around, we've got loads of gold coins as well that you might get on a Christmas treat. What we've been playing this month, Jane, you haven't been to Tokyo in the last few weeks, unlike myself and Nicholas. So
that's right.
What boring games have you been playing over here in England?
In England. I've been playing in England Uncharted 2 and also in England Brutal Legend.
So. I say boring. I've not seen these, but I've had so many people saying Uncharted 2 is
my
superb.
Game of the year.
Really?
My game of the year. I mean, obviously the year's not over yet, but it's fabulous.
Why is it so good? Because I've sort of missed this a little bit.
It looks gorgeous. It's really good fun. It's really good entertainment. The voice acting is spectacular. The scripting is really funny.
Good.
And it's a game that borrows so much from other games and from, you know, Indiana Jones and from Tomb Raider and whatnot. But it's all done with such painstaking attention to detail. And it's so polished. It's really polished. There's nothing about it that's like sloppy or kind of lazy. And it's just really, really good fun.
Yeah, I've been playing this game as well, and I think the key to it is that it's a game that really makes you feel like you're in a movie.
Mm.
So you feel like you are in the latest Indiana Jones installment or something like that. So,
and this is PlayStation, isn't it?
That's PS3, right, yeah, okay. It's PS3 exclusive. Because of all that polish and because the cutscenes when they come in are actually enjoyable and well scripted and really well acted. And so you do really properly get drawn into it. It's a very good game indeed.
It does sound good. I've had a lot of people recommend that.
Yes,
have you been playing anything else, or have you just been...
Brutal Legend.
Brutal Legend.
I can say it's very funny. Again, it's got fantastic voice acting. It's Jack Black. But it's got some really great ideas and some really great design. I think we mentioned it before.
It's the one where you're a roadie.
You're
for
a roadie in this kind of fantasy, medieval, metal universe.
Right.
So this kind of fantasy, everything's made of skulls and giant amps and that kind of thing. And so the design is fantastic, the script is fantastic, it's very funny, the concepts are like interesting, but it's a funnier game than it is a fun game.
Yeah, I kind of thought that might be the case.
Yeah, it's not without its charms, and it is good to play, but I've been watching some other people play it as well as playing it myself, and I have as good a time watching other people play it,
right?
Because Jack Black is very funny and it looks great. But it's a kind of bit of a hodgepodge of real-time strategy, but with you in the mix, in the battle, and then mixed with a kind of exploration kind of thing. And then because you play guitar solos to activate certain powers, it becomes for a split second like a kind of Guitar Hero mini game where you have to, like, you know,
I think I
press
might, this
the right
sounds
buttons.
A bit tedious to me, really. It sounds like it's trying too hard.
It is trying very hard. It's very ambitious, I suppose. But I wouldn't write it off, but it's not going to be to everyone's taste, I would
Nick,
say.
What else have you been playing?
What else? Well, other than what I was playing in Tokyo, since I've been back, I've been playing Ballad of Gay Tony, which is it's the new instalment of Grand Theft Auto 4.
Wow.
Yes, rather than a special interest game.
Okay.
What's
it called?
It's called The Ballad of Gay Tony.
You did say that, didn't you?
I did, I've said it twice.
Yeah, is it good?
It is, it's really good. Yeah, the Gay Tony referred to is this nightclub impresario in Liberty City, and then you play his lackey, Luis Lopez. And it's really cool. What I really liked about it is that it's brightened up Liberty City, because I really enjoyed Grand Theft Auto 4, but it was quite dark and quite bleak in the city as you were going around, and there was just that kind of grimy feel to it. And this, because you're in this sort of nightclub environment and surrounded by uber rich people, it's just much brighter.
Yeah.
They've made it much sunnier, and as you're driving around, all the streets are sort of like sun bleached, and it feels like a more fun game for it. So it drew me in right from the start, actually. And you can do base jumping, and you can do parachute jumping out of helicopters.
Very cool.
Which is really good fun.
All I've been playing, when we were in Japan, I won't bang on about it too much, Jane, sorry, Nick and I met up several times and just ended up playing Mario Kart all the time. just guess Mario Kart. And it was wonderful, sitting in a proper arcade. And we've mentioned this before, but the arcades in Japan, on a Monday night at 7:30, are packed with like school kids and businessmen and middle-aged women, and it's just the nothing seedy. It's the most exciting place to be with the noise. And what everyone was so friendly. We were trying to start a four-player co-op with our respective partners who were there. And we muffed it up somehow. One of us turned the wrong way and it didn't work. And there was this guy with his girlfriend watching us and could see that we were in trouble. And he called the attendant over, who then stopped the game, opened all the cabs, reset it back to some kind of beta screen or something, and then synced them all up again and set the game off for us. Wonderful.
Would just never happen over here at all.
The nicest experience. And no, we also played a game that, unfathomable, really. Yeah. Gundam. I guess that's what it's called, based on the Gundam cartoons. Basically, you're in these separate pods. And we hoped we'd be fighting each other, but I don't think we were.
No.
But before you even start the game, it's like a kind of Krypton Factor test to get the game set up, because you have to buy a card and then you have to go onto this computer and program this card. I still have my Gundam card in my wallet.
I have mine too.
It's going to go with me until I die. Again, very helpful Japanese staff sorted us out, and it was good, very good. I got a little bit motion sick in there.
You threw a bit of a wobbly, didn't you?
Calm down. It wasn't a wobbly. I was a little bit sweaty and pale, yeah. So I had to go and sit down and get some air and water. Yes, but I wouldn't say it was a wobbly.
I don't think we were playing against anyone else at all, because there were like eight of these
and
pots.
We were both doing really, really well.
Yeah, we both won. Yeah. So there was like proper Japanese gamers in all the other pods, so I don't think there's any way that we beat all of those.
But excellent. Hey, listen, very quickly, one game that I've forgotten the name of, so I'm going to try and describe it to you, except I've never played it. A lot of people are mentioning a game on I think it's on the 360, like Undaunted, Deadline. I interviewed Charlie Brooker the other day from The Guardian, who's a huge gamer,
yes,
massive gamer.
Yes.
And I said, oh, what have you got? What games are you playing at the moment? And he said, oh, I've got this game, but I haven't played it yet. And someone else mentioned it to me, and I just wondered if it was worth going and buying it on the way home. Defeated. The title's not very exciting. Let's move on. Someone will post it on the forum, and bless you for doing that.
Someone who's read your mind will post it on the forum.
No, someone will have got it from that vague. I'm putting out enough information that if someone knew the title, they'd go, okay. I know exactly what the idiot is talking about. Very excitingly, and a little bit bizarrely, Charles Martinet came in today. And now, who's he? You may be asking. Or maybe you're not. He's the voice of Mario and loads of other characters. And he is, without a doubt, the most bonkers person I have ever met in my life. Lovely, charming, wonderful, wonderful man, but completely bonkers. Well, listen, and you'll see exactly what I mean. We've got Charles Martinet is here. And I say very exciting to meet you. It's the second time I've met you this week. I feel like you're a cold. I can't shake you off.
Thank you very much, Ian. Wahoo! I'm so happy to be here. Mamma mia! Go Gamecast! Wahoo! Wait a minute. That was my line. Go Gamecast. Have a rotten day. Oh, what about me? I got to say hello to somebody. Well, go ahead. Say hello, Luigi. Hello. Oh, that was great. Thank you very much, Luigi. Baby Mario, Baby Mario, I want to say. Woohoo, let's go. And Baby Luigi, too. Oh. All right, everybody say hello. What about Charles? You want to say hello? Ah, come on, don't be shy. Get over here, Charles. Come on, say hello. Oh, hi, how you doing? Hi, Ian.
Well, Charles, thanks for coming. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Geez, you don't stop. For anyone who didn't get from that, you're the voice of Mario, is the big one, the
Mario,
obvious one.
Yeah, yeah.
Who else?
Yeah, Wario. Hey, what's on there? Luigi. Luigi. Everybody cheat but me. Baby Luigi and Baby Mario. Wahoo!
I can't talk to you.
Hello. This is Mario talking to the microphone. I'm having a great time.
Calm down. You're a grown man.
Yes, I am.
I had the great pleasure on Tuesday of playing Super Mario Brothers Wii.
You were good.
You were better. You were hustling me, saying, oh, I'm not very good at these games. I just do the voices. You were superb. And you spent the whole, I think we played about 40 minutes, the whole thing doing the voices as well, which is pretty cool.
It's funny because I can't actually play without doing the voices.
Right.
You know, it's like, wahoo, get leak, come on, wahoo, wah, ah, you know, if I'm, you know, Luigi, Yeah.
Hey, I just noticed Luigi's a bit like Mo Howard from The Stooges. have you stolen it?
Why, yada, certainly.
This is the most ridiculous conversation I've ever had. Do you must get sick of doing those voices, surely. Be honest with me.
I absolutely love it. To me, it's such a joy and a profound honor to do the voices. To know that the small part that I did, because, you know, in the creation of a video game, it's this massive amount of work by a huge number of people in the creative teams, headed, of course, by the genius of Mr. Miyamoto. Oh, and so all this great work and focus is going on, like in a movie, you know, the concentration, except that they're making infinite number of movie solutions, because anywhere you go can change the whole plot line, you know. So for me, just to come in and I do the voice in a day or two, 3 or 4 days, and to be recognized as someone who brings, you know, is a part of that process of bringing so much joy, is just an absolute profound honor and pleasure for me.
And we were talking about this the other day. You don't get tired of people coming up saying, go on, do a woohoo. That doesn't bore you ever.
No, it's great. You know, the thing is, to be able to give people a moment of joy, what could be better? You know, and to know that when they go home and play the game, they're going to remember that moment. That's great. Or to hear on their phone message, "Eat some audio, can't come to the phone right now." Wahoo! You know, it's fun.
It affects the oddest people. My wife, who's not a gamer, but she, when we were in Japan recently, we got obsessed with Mario Kart, as Nick will attest to. She said, "What are you doing today?" "Oh, I'm doing the game cast, and Charles Martinet's coming in." "Who's that?" "It's the voice of Mario." She got very, very excited. And she's a woman in her early 30s, you know, with responsibilities and a job. And so it's amazing that, and, you know, let's be honest, we're all, you know, the team here a little bit, "Wow, this is really cool, he's come in." Woo-hoo. It must be odd being, I mean, because you're an actor, that's your background, is it?
Yeah.
To kind of have lots of different age groups, kids and middle-aged people and older people, getting very excited at meeting you.
It's wonderful. It's really great. You know, I have the most wonderful voiceover life and most wonderful life in that my fame is selective fame. When I go to an event at a store that's opening, or a launch of a video game, a new Mario title or something, I go and people will line up to get the game, and then they see me and it's like, bonus, hello, you know, oh, hi. And this wonderful boy, when we were launching Mario Galaxy here in London at a store on Oxford Street, game on Oxford Street, as a matter of fact, people lined up around the block to get the game. And when they came in, they saw me, we took pictures, and a little boy came up to me and said, "Mel Blanc was the voice of my father's childhood, and you're the voice of mine."
Fantastic.
And I was
fantastic.
Like, my heart just melted. I mean, imagine
compared to Mel Blanc, that's pretty cool as well.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's an amazing thing.
Yeah, well, as he gets older, he'll realize that I'm a sham, you know, a fraud. And, you know, but this massive talent. But, you know, the point was more that to know that your work touches people is so great.
How long have you been doing it, and how did you get the gig?
20 years ago, I crashed an audition.
Yeah.
The only audition in my entire life I've ever crashed. I'm sort of like, a friend of mine calls me and says, "You got to go do this audition. It's for a trade show, and they're doing some live computer thing." And I'm like, I can't ever crash an audition. I just absolutely refuse. What's the address? So I go, and I, you know, it's 5 o'clock, and I knock on the door, and I open it. "Can I please read for this?" And the camera's already in the bag. The producer's, you know, wrapping it up. The cameraman's ready to walk away. And he looks at his watch, and he goes, "All right, yeah, come on in. Look, you're an Italian plumber from Brooklyn." So
what a great sentence to say to any actor. That's superb.
Yeah, and I'm like, "Yeah, I know what that sounds like, you know." "Hey, how you doing? You know, I'm under your sink, don't bother me." You know, and you're gonna make up a
Pause for a second, Charles?
Sure.
And just imagine a world where that is actually Mario's voice. Wouldn't that be fun, huh?
If he talked, it wouldn't be so much fun. "Get out of my face. I'm going for the princess here, you know. Gonna go rescue her. So don't bother me."
Some kind of Danny DeVito style thing.
But imagine how different it was, and maybe that was a choice that was made by a lot of people in their approach. I don't know. I didn't hear anybody else. But, you know, he says, "You know, you just, you're going to be talking to people all day long. You'll have these things glued to your face. So when you move, this cartoon character is supposed to move in the same time." So we have no idea whether that's going to work or not. But in any case, if it doesn't work, we still want you to sit there talking to people. So make up a video game, make up the accent. You start talking. And whenever you run out of things to say, stop. And I'm like, you know, okay, you know, "How you doing?" You know, that's pretty coarse. You know, my belief is that comedy, or if you're going to interact with people, it shouldn't be ever be hurtful. And I draw a line there that's very solid for me, that any comedy or fun or improv I do doesn't cost anybody else, you know. So I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, I played Gremio in Taming of the Shrew a few years before, 10 years before, in a theater production. You know, "Hey, Gremio was a nice old Italian guy." And I'm like, oh, that could have some
interesting. I could do a little bit of something with that voice. And you know, a video game, you know, of course, Pong, Space Invaders, Tank. You know, that sort of thing.
You want the sound of Battlezone, were you? Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's wonderful. I never knew.
In Battlezone, you know. But, you know, and so I'm thinking, well, I don't know, but how do you make up, what is a video game? I have no, all of a sudden I hear action. And I turn to the camera, and in the voice you hear today, I said, "Hello, I'm a Mario. Okie dokie, let's make a pizza pie together. You go get some sausage. I'm going to get some spaghetti. We're going to put the spaghetti and the sausage in the pizza. Then I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to roll it after you. I'm going to chase you with the pizza. Then you chase me with the pizza. Then we're going to make a lasagna. I'm going to chase with the lasagna. And if I catch you with the lasagna, you got to catch me with the lasagna. And then we're going to get some other," you know, and I just talked and talked and talked, and all of a sudden I hear, "Cut, stop, stop. The tape's run out." That was fine. Thank you. We'll be in touch.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, well, there's the kiss of death
yeah.
for any actor alive. We'll be in touch. You better to scream, next, yeah. you know. And I walked out the door and went to watch the sunset. And I walked out and he got on the phone and called Don James up at Nintendo and said, "I found our Mario."
Fantastic.
And that was the only tape that was sent up, and that was 20 years ago. And we started doing the real-time animation thing, which is really fun, because I can see people, but they, you know, they only see Mario, and we just had a head floating around.
So how
around.
Did that, what was that, the real-time animation thing?
We did that at a Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas
yeah.
and in Chicago, and they basically put a big TV set up, a spy camera, spy microphone, so I'd see somebody walking on and I'd say, "Hello, hey, is that Ian? You're wearing a red hat just like a Mario. Ah, mamma mia." You know, and then we'd start, it was like, are you talking to me? Of
Brilliant.
Course I'm talking to you. You're with a beautiful princess, you know. And so the dialogue would start, but we also used it for, we went to a hospital and talked with kids, and we went to do some, the launches of some different products, one of which was the 64 platform, the 64 bit platform, which was a MIPS RISC processor, and I went on, you know, as the Mario thing, and we got a great news for everybody at a press event, and out of that wonderful thing, Mr. Miyamoto must have enjoyed what we were doing, because every time Mr. Miyamoto walks by the camera, I go, "Papa, hello, Papa," you know, and graciously and with you know this tremendous sense of loyalty and enjoyment. I guess they called me up and said, "Come on up to Seattle. We're going to record a game, and it's going to have a voice in it with Mario."
Mm.
And that was Mario 64.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
When you do the games, how does that work? How do you record the voice? And is the game there already, or do you just go in with a set script that you read off?
It really depends. We can record a game. You know, there are always so many games that are in process of development. Sometimes we'll record a voice for it 2 years before it actually comes out. Sometimes four wow. weeks before it comes out, because okay. the game is all assembled. Now, let's just put in that last little, you know, put the frosting and the little sprinkles on top of the cake, mm. And there it is. And it's very interesting because I fly up to Seattle usually, although I've also recorded in Japan, which was tremendous fun, going into Mr. Koji Kondo's the sacred lair where he does his wonderful music. And oh, room for a whole symphony, a beautiful wood, and just, oh, it's so gorgeous. It was one of those, "Oh, I'm so happy to be here," you know. And you take off your shoes and you put on your slippers.
Mm.
And then you go in. You know,
brilliant.
It's a beautiful environment. And then working in Tokyo, too, which was great fun on Galaxy. But we usually fly up to Seattle, meet the guys from the Treehouse from Nintendo America, and they've got the scripts and sometimes movies and little things that we watch, so we know just a new action that's going to happen, what kind of sound are we going to put into that, and scripts too. And we go through the process of first eating a big, beautiful sushi lunch, because that's one of my favorite foods in the
Superb.
Whole world. The favorite food in the whole wide world. So we have that, watch these movies, and then we start recording, and we record the lines, and I do multiple variations of each line and each mm-hmm. word and each sound, and then we do improvisation, and we just sit there playing around doing, you know, improv on, you know, whatever we want.
It sounds like the best fun there is, surely. This has got to be the cushiest job ever.
It is. It is. It's the greatest job ever. It's, at least for me, it's the job that I thoroughly and completely enjoy. I love every minute of it. I love recording the games. I love doing PR. I love meeting fans. I love, you know, just seeing somebody enjoying the game in an airport. It just brings me joy all the time. And to know that I'm a part of something that I think is fundamentally good, you know. Mm. It's great to make people happy and enjoy things. And Mario games, there's so many different things. Because you can play the sport game, you can have a lot of fun, or you can be, you know, figuring out the internal puzzle of how to get through this thing, or a mini game, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's so many different levels to it, and that's why they've lasted, however long they've lasted since the Game & Watch days. Yeah. Are you actually a gamer? Are you genuinely a gamer? Is it a passing thing where you can pick them up and play?
I love playing the games. I wish I was really good at the games. I will tell you, do you remember when Mario Galaxy first came out?
Mm.
The first time you saw that game? Mm. For me, every cell in my body was going, woohoo! You know, it was like so exciting. I mean, goosebumps everywhere, hair standing up. I was like, I can't believe this. And of course, I get the controller and I start going around the planet and I turn with the thing all the way. You know, it's lucky for me that I didn't snap.
You
all
play
the way
it like
around.
My wife does, and her whole body has to move around and she leans in and everything.
Yeah. And I still do, because you remember the other day we were playing Super Mario Brothers Wii, and I, you know, if I'm about to fall, I go, wah! You know, my whole body gets into it, you know. And that game to me is so much fun. I literally, if I put the controllers down and I just watch the action, you know, you know, watch it, I start laughing. Yeah. I will giggle during the game because it's so much fun. And we played cooperatively, which I think is a great way, because you find so many more levels, so many more little things to do, you know. And, you know, everybody, okay, everybody, let's get the Yoshi. Woohoo! Wait a minute, I don't have a Yoshi. Oh, I got the Yoshi. Let's go. Wah-hoo-hoo, you know. So you know, you've got this cooperation going. It's like really fun, you know. But then sometimes, like at E3, there were gamers that were like really hardcore gamers, and they went straight for the competition.
Mm.
And I just, my impression of me there, I would just, like, I was the first one out of game every single time, because when you play competitively, you can go absolutely nuts.
There must be great. I played Miyamoto-san once at the original Super Mario Brothers.
Did you?
I beat him.
I hadn't played it for a long time, and I beat him.
Ian, you the man.
Yeah.
You the man.
He may have let me wipe. I don't think he did. He may have done. But so there was an immense satisfaction in that. So the kids must get a satisfaction as well when they actually beat Mario at his own game.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they slam the control. No, I'm teasing. They don't. They do. They enjoy it. Mm. Yeah.
But you're very quickly, we will let you go in a second, but you're still you're doing other acting work as well, or does this pay well enough just to, you turn up once a year and do this gig?
You know, I do other voiceover things, and, you know, voices in video games. I've done a couple hundred games. But, you know, of course, my favorite by so far is Mario. That is the joy of my life to me. Mm. And, you know, there's another game that's already out in the UK. So I think it's the 20th that New Super Mario Bros.
Super Mario Bros.
Wii
is on the 20th of November.
Right. And then this game is already out, but I absolutely love it. It's called Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games. And it is, again, it's like total fun. You've got all these great Mario characters, Mario, Wario, Luigi, Waluigi. You've got a Yoshi. Hop, hop. You know, but then you also have all the Sega characters. You got Sonic and Metal Sonic and Silver Sonic and Knuckles and Shadow and Dr. Eggman and Vector the Crocodile. So you've got all these competitions going on. So it's like continuous absolute insanity, because you've got skiing. You've got ski jumping and skating and bobsleigh and hockey and curling, which to me, that's one of my favorite things. Like, I'll be Mario and I'll get like Sonic to be the sweeper for my curling.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
Let's just, you totally rule over Sonic. Do you know what I mean?
Sonic
who?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're Chronic the Hedgehog. That's right. Look like a furball my kitty cat brought in. Now I pull your leg. We good friends. Mamma mia. We competitive, but we friends.
Good.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, yeah. Oh, and you know, and there's something else too in that game. I have to just say, there are these dream events where it's like you're playing Mario Kart, but in the snow, and there are all kinds of different courses. It's just... It's great. Like, every Mario game, to me, is about fun, and that's the whole focus that I love so much about everyone at Nintendo. Make games that make people have as much fun as you possibly can, and it's a magical thing, I think.
And a lot of that comes out of Shigeru Miyamoto's head. You know, he is bonkers,
but
in a wonderful, wonderful way, where anything is possible. Very quickly, last question, sir. Have you got a favorite of all the Mario games? Mine is, without a doubt, any variation of Super Mario Kart. It's just...
I absolutely love Mario Kart. As you say, Shigeru Miyamoto, he is an absolute genius.
Mm.
Every game he creates is massive fun for me. But I'm going to say the new Super Mario Bros. Wii is my favorite game ever. Because I can't believe it. It's just so much fun. It's just so silly. I don't think I'll ever be able to play competitively, but I will go through that. Oh, and there's this other part, too, which is going to help somebody like me. And that is a part, and I can't remember exactly what it's called, but you can, if you can't make it through a level, you can get help, and it will show you how to get through the level and actually get you through the level.
Brilliant.
So then you go to the next level, which, thank goodness, because I know I'll be using that. You don't get credit for it.
Yeah.
But the next time you go around, you go, aha! Wait a minute, I remember this one.
My tolerance of video games, as I get older, is getting less and less. And if I can't do it like third or fourth go, it's like, nah, I'm switching that off. So that's good that there's a little help.
That's right. Wait till your grandpapa, Ian. Then you're going to be like, hey, just show me the way. Get out of here. Have a rotten day. You know.
Hey, Charles, listen, it's lovely to see you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm seeing you tomorrow because we're at the Britain's Best Nintendo Gamer final.
Yes, I'm so excited by that. I'm so glad I'm not going to play anybody in that because that's...
You're playing me.
Trash. Okay,
you're playing me.
You and me, buddy.
It ain't cooperative, fella.
I'm
taking you down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Make him a day.
Charles, it's lovely to see you again. I'll see you soon. Take care.
Oh, great. Thanks so much, Ian. Bye-bye, everybody. Wahoo!
Love it. Gamecast from MSN.
Very quickly, we won't dwell too long on Tokyo Game Show because there is a whole separate podcast that Nick and I recorded. If you haven't heard it, I urge you to go and find it and download it because it's live at the Tokyo Game Show, and I had not slept for about a day and a half, I think, by the time we recorded that.
I was hugely impressed that you even made it because you came straight off of the plane, didn't you?
We landed at 9:30, got to our hotel at midday, dropped our stuff off, then got to the game show at maybe 3 and recorded the podcast, I think about 5:30, 6 or something, because the whole thing was closing down. Shattered beyond belief.
Matchsticks holding your eyes, aren't they?
But what fun, eh? Wasn't it brilliant?
It was great, yeah. You were a fantastic place to be.
You were there for the whole... I was only there for the second day, which was press day. You were there for the whole 4 days. Did it change when the real people were allowed in over the weekend?
It went completely nuclear.
Yeah.
It was berserk. Once they let real people in... it's just heaving everywhere you go.
Mm.
But the main thing is the cosplayers all turn up.
Right.
Who are these Japanese kids who love dressing up.
Yeah, we miss those.
Yeah, and they dress up in their whole manga outfits, or they dress up as game characters, whichever. They're not even allowed in the actual show itself. Because
really?
There's two separate halls in the middle. There's like an outdoor section.
Yeah.
And they all have to line up in this outdoor section. Because otherwise they cause a complete logjam of people taking photos of them. So they all have to go out there. But they put so much effort into it. And if you have a look around on the site, we've got a gallery of some of the best ones that were there as well. And they do look really cool.
There are plenty of photo opportunities. They're very bizarrely... Well, not bizarrely, it's a canny marketing move. But every stall has a young Japanese lady in not many clothes just standing there. And I was there with my wife. And we're like, weren't we allowed to take photos? And as soon as you get a camera out... In some place in Japan, you get a camera out and everyone's like, no, you can't do that. But they were begging us to have photos taken with them. I've not been to many game shows. That's the strangest thing I've been to in the world, though. It was just so over the top.
Mm.
And, you know, you walk in and just there's this wall of noise and machines and gunfire and everything going off. Wonderfully exciting. But how did it compare to other game shows you've been to?
Well, it was hugely more... elaborate than E3 when I went to
wow,
E3
really?
Because that had been scaled back so much.
Yeah.
Which was E3 last year. This by contrast is aimed at the public, so there's lots of lights and craziness going on everywhere.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of cool stuff there as well. What was your favourite game that you got to have a look at?
It was not Avatar. I think I can safely say that I've found Avatar. I was very excited about Avatar until I started playing it, and as it was a poor man's Halo 3. I thought the gimmick being it's in 3D, and we've mentioned the 3D here before. That is it, and it added nothing to that game. But saying that, the best thing I saw, I didn't really get a chance to play on stuff because we weren't there for that long, only a few hours. But I saw Wipeout in 3D, and that did look amazing. That did look incredible, you know. That's what, if you're going to do 3D, that's how to do it. What was the best thing you saw?
I really enjoyed getting hands on with Dead Rising 2. which was just the multiplayer part of it. But it was really good fun. It's ridiculously over the top, uber violence. Yeah. Like you, I think we were talking a while back about whatever happened to Destruction Derby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
that was a good game.
This has kind of brought Destruction Derby back in a way, because you're on a motorbike with a double chainsaw strapped to the front.
Brilliant.
And the whole point of it is just to plow through crowds of zombies in this arena, which is just the most bloody game I've ever seen. At some points, the screen completely fills up
good.
With blood and gore. It's completely over the top.
The first
advice, really, really
I don't know about you, Jane. Sorry, you've been very silent in this, and the Jane fans are fast-forwarding through this, trying to hear your voice. So we'll get you in via this route. I found the first Dead Rising quite disappointing. For the first hour, it's brilliant. And then the save mechanism was awful. There wasn't actually that much depth to it. It was basically where you can pick up stuff and you can hit zombies with anything
that was
around. That was it, wasn't
it? Yeah, and the save mechanic was really, really awkward. But I fancy this one a lot more because it's set in this kind of fake Vegas. I don't know what the city's called. But the original one was just set in this kind of generic American shopping mall, which is very Dawn of the Dead. Yeah, Dawn of the Dead, right?
I get those three confused.
It's very Dawn of the Dead, but I think a little bit too generic after a while. Whereas the Vegas thing has some nicer opportunities. I think I've seen some screenshots and he's like beating people up with a roulette wheel or something like that. And I'm looking forward to it.
Now, the first one had so many great ideas about it, like the whole taking photos and getting points that way. And I like the real-time aspect of it as well. And if they can take all those cool things to Dead Rising 2 and fix all the broken stuff, it would be an amazing game, I think. Really, really good fun.
Okay, very cool. Last Japanese thing I'll say, because it's boring to anyone who's not been there, I realise we're just gloating terribly. In Shibuya, in this street, we saw this, me and my wife saw this really weird thing that was, I've had difficulty finding it, but it is on the internet. What was it? It was Sony Playface, that was it. And it was like a Sony stand in the middle of this street at night time. And they had Gran Turismo and some games up there, but there was a booth that you could go in. I didn't do it, and I wish I'd waited around to do it, because we finally worked out what it was. Well, you go into this booth, and you play... I think they were playing FIFA in there. I think you could ask for pretty much any game, and you can play it. And what they do is they film your face as you're playing. They film your face from all different angles. And then if you stand out the front, they've edited it together into this wonderful film where you just... see lots of different. You see a face, and the camera pans around it, and then it comes around, and it's someone else's face. And then, so every now and then, it will freeze on a face, and you'll see that face in slow motion, reacting to what they're doing in a game. So it's like them, you know, shouting or pulling a face or swearing or something. It's the coolest thing ever. There are some videos of it on YouTube, and I thoroughly recommend you go and have a little look on that, because it does look wonderful. Right, Japan over.
Done.
What other business have we got? Golden joysticks.
Golden joysticks.
Yeah, well, we have the results here of the golden joysticks.
I've genuinely not seen these. All right, what have we got?
Well, top prize of golden joysticks every year is the Ultimate Game of the Year Award.
Yep.
And there's this year that went to Fallout 3.
One of your favourites.
Yes, yeah, I really liked it, and I don't think you ever quite got into it, did you?
I spent 2 hours playing it, finally got outside and then got bored, but I will go back to it. I could be wrong on that one. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there were about 15 nominees in that particular category, so you were looking at other things like Left 4 Dead was in there, GTA 4, Gears of War 2, but yeah, Fallout 3 took it, so I think that's a reasonable pick, to be honest. It's been hugely popular, and they've brought out so much good downloadable content for it that I think it's probably a worthy win on that basis. Individual platform winners, Xbox Game of the Year was Gears of War 2.
Another one of your favourites. Were you rigging this? It was just the games you like. There's Rock Band in there somewhere.
No, it's not.
Guitar Hero. Well done. Okay.
PlayStation Game of the Year, Killzone 2.
Yeah.
Lots of sequels. And PC Game of the Year was Fallout 3 again.
Hang on, what's this category? The one to watch?
Yeah, it's a bit of a random one. It's like, which game are you most excited about that's still
yet to come out? And they win an award for that?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's the award to make the joystick a bit more timely, because they are backward-looking.
Right, okay.
So
the award ceremonies are, though. It's not like you don't get the Oscars, which is the best trailer for films coming out next year. They don't do that. It seems a very odd... thing. Did they do that every year?
I've missed them.
Well, because it's the winner was Modern Warfare 2, which is out on the 10th of November, so not actually that far off now.
Yeah.
So I think you might be right in it, because the catchment period for nominees is actually it's a long time ago now.
It is, yeah.
So to keep something a little bit more, recent.
Sorry, but again, that's not going to hurt Modern Warfare 2 at all, is it? They're going to own Christmas
they don't need
this
it.
Year.
Yeah.
No doubt.
With their ramped up price and everything as well.
Yeah.
£55, is it?
That's right. Yeah.
Well, we had a poll on the site. It was like, which edition are you going to buy? Because there's two £120 versions.
Oh, these are the goggles.
One with goggles, one with a statue. There's a £55 version, which is just the standard one, you know, kind of pricier than usual. And there's another one which comes with an art book, I think, which is a little bit, somewhere priced in between. Most people are going to buy the standard one, but quite a few people are going to buy the night vision one, apparently.
But the goggles don't do anything to the game, do they?
No, you don't play the game.
No, you don't,
goggles.
Do you?
No, so they're just, night vision goggles.
Just go and buy some goggles. They're not real night vision, though, are they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, no.
Because I've looked on eBay for
night vision goggles.
I've looked on eBay for night vision goggles, and they're about £600. Don't ask me why I was looking for them. But I fancied having a pair, but these work.
They work, but they're not the same as like military issue. They work in a slightly different way, and so that makes them slightly cheaper. Yeah.
Oh, so I might actually be a little bit tempted then to fall for that. Sorry, what other awards have we got?
Well, there was the multiplayer game of the year award, which this year we were sponsoring.
Good.
Yeah, so that was very cool. And that went to Call of Duty World at War, which is probably not a huge surprise, I suppose.
Excellent game. I agree with that.
I don't know. Personally, I probably would have given that one to Left 4 Dead, I think.
Well, that which I see here is one online game of the year.
It has, yeah.
Yeah, we were saying what's the difference between multiplayer and online, but...
I guess multiplayer, you can play at home with your friends.
Local multiplayer, but I don't know if that's, that's not the thing for World at War, is it?
So. No, I think the core difference to it is that multiplayer is for console games that are multiplayer. Online game of the year is for PC games that are multiplayer.
Okay.
And that's the difference. It seems a little bit, there's so much overlap there anyway.
We mentioned PC game of the year was Fallout 3, I think, which is important to get that. Mobile game of the year, Metal Gear Solid Touch. Nintendo game of the year, Call of Duty World at War.
It's a bit of an odd one, but I guess it's public voted, so... It's
all right, good stuff. Well, you're all off to the booze up tomorrow, are you?
We are indeed.
Golden joysticks.
Yeah.
Here we come.
I'm going to see Fleetwood Mac, I'm afraid. Sorry.
It's all about priority. Yeah.
I've noticed a lot of the consoles. It's all about TV. It's all about extra content and extra things that your consoles and machines can do the last couple of months.
Mm.
And they are all announcing some sort of TV or movie service. Nintendo are doing the BBC iPlayer, which I think launches in mid-November, something like that, where it's the iPlayer specifically for the Wii. Sky Player on Xbox, has that started? That's starting very, very soon if it hasn't.
Teething problems.
Oh, really?
It was meant to start a couple of days ago. And they've had a couple of issues with it, pulled it, and I think it's coming back as we speak.
But it's happening, and it's...
Yeah, I've had a go with it. I had like a beta invite, so the service is good, actually, but I imagine the demand just couldn't be coped with on Tuesday when it was supposed to launch.
I'm the same. I saw a demo and thought it looked excellent, because you can get 24... streaming Sky channels coming down, and you can get loads of on-demand stuff as well, and the quality is really, really good. You can watch stuff with your Xbox friends and see, talk to them over the headset and stuff.
That sounds really cool. Yeah, really, and I like that.
Yeah, which is really nice. So when it's properly up, properly running, I think it's very nice service.
Sky PlayStation, the PlayStation Network Video Delivery Service. I'm reading that, kids. There's no way I could remember that. Where you can download movies to the PS3 and PSP,
and then put them on your PSP.
How it works. In November. You put them onto the PSP. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. So that seems to be. I think we were saying this a long time ago, that the first one that did a deal with Sky or something would be the winner. And I guess that's the way forward.
I think it all depends on what content ends up on each, because PlayStation's got Fox and MGM and Sony, and obviously Sony and Paramount,
right?
And then the Sky offering is good. I mean, but that said, I had a flick through, and it depends on your tastes. There's a handful of movies I would watch, but I wouldn't watch every movie on
is
there.
Is the Biography channel on there?
Yes, I believe it is.
I'm in there,
the History
baby.
Channel. Yeah,
that's all we want. The History Channel. I just want to see things about Nazis and their golden sharks, and that's pretty much all you get on there.
As long as they expand it a bit, because I think the I think it was either the drama or action part of the streaming TV was like 90% 24. Jack Bauer 24.
You said that it's a bad thing. I don't.
Well,
that's not a criticism.
It's not my cup of tea. So that left me a little kind of short.
Anyway. There is the movie download section on Xbox as well.
That's true. So
yeah, which I've not done yet. But this weekend, I'm going to download... There is a horror film on there called Trick or Treat, which a friend of mine has recommended downloading. So I'm going to experiment
there's
with that this weekend.
There's a lot of horror on there.
I'm going to have a little look and see how it works and how easy it is to use. Okay, what else is there? Left 4 Dead 2 demo is out for those who have pre-ordered the game already. I wish I had because I won that. Have we got a date on Left 4 Dead 2 yet? Do we...
It's November 23rd?
Oh, yeah. Sounds about right.
Something like that.
Okay, so by the time we do the next show, I may have it in my dirty little hands. Mm. Okay, well, then we'll see. Pro Evo 10 has knocked FIFA off of the multi-format chart. Although I'm going to defer to Alex, who very rarely speaks and is our technical operator here. Very quickly, shout nice and loudly, you're a Pro Evo man. Do you like this or not?
Bit disappointing
yeah. from technical Alex there, who's we were saying earlier on that issues with lag seems to be. Is that right, Alex?
It is. Yes.
Issues with lag. So that's the main problem there. And the other thing I noticed that Nintendo may or may not have made a little bit of a gaffe and let slip something that could be happening. Apparently, on their website, they mentioned the DSi Speak channel. They were talking about how to utilise points. They're called points, aren't they, I think, on Nintendo? Is that? I can't remember the technical term. But how you could buy different services. And they said, for example, if you want to buy the DSi Speak channel, then you just do this. And then 2 days later it was taken off and no mention of it has been made since. So that would be a thing that would allow you to talk via your DSi, wouldn't it?
Which would make your DSi a phone, really.
Which is what... Before it came out, everyone was kind of saying, "Oh, Nintendo are working on a telephone," and Nintendo go, "No, we're doing no such thing."
So it might be like a voice over IP kind of Skype.
That would be very exciting.
I mean, there's no 3G functionality in there, so it'd have to be when you're in a Wi-Fi zone and then someone else is in a Wi-Fi zone. But still, that would be pretty awesome. Or, I hadn't actually seen it.
Would be good. I've not seen it. I'm just reporting what rumours I've read on the internet, and we know how reliable the internet is these days. Right, that's all the business I've got. Have you two got anything else? Should we have a look at the forums?
Let's have a look at the forums.
Hey, by the way, kids, you've been quiet on the forums. I don't know if you're busy having lives and doing stuff, but you can come and post about anything. You know, do it that we vaguely mentioned in the show, that we haven't mentioned in the show, and you think we should do. If you want to have a go at any of us, then please come to the forums and let us know. It's nice to hear from you.
So these from the forums at tech.uk.msn.com. We asked you what you made of achievements and trophies and whether you play for them or whether you couldn't care less about them. Unnamed Seven says, I myself am not an achievement fan purely because I'm in it for the game itself. Who gives a monkeys about how many times you've shot someone in the foot?
Most people, were of that same kind of opinion, weren't they? That it's not really... Saying that, look, the Mono Gorillo, I wasn't too bothered about trophies on PS3 until last week. But after discussing it with a colleague, we've both been competing since over who has the most.
I think that's it. I think it's the competitive element. If you've got friends who, you know, like, who also play and they've got achievement points or they've got trophies, then it becomes worthwhile. But if it's just for your own benefit, then it's less kind of exciting, I think.
Going off on a tangent slightly, Rob, 1980, Virtual Boy was the thing I was talking about, the add-on for the Nintendo where it's a big red thing that you strap it on and they had to pull it because everyone was getting migraines. Mm. Beautiful. You can get them on eBay. They're stunning. Don't play it for more than 20 minutes. And Henna's 191... talking about World of Warcraft. Was playing World of Warcraft, listening to this, to the last show. Didn't know about the time counter. This is the thing where you type in something and it tells you how long you've been playing.
Slash played.
So Henna's has 16 days, 20 hours, 30 minutes. That sounds like a lot. However, it annoyed me more that I've paid for about 90 days worth of game time to date. I've not been playing enough. Jeez. Having said that, could have done
something...
That
does mean he's been playing like over a sixth of his life in those 90 days, including sleeping and eating.
Now, this is the question that we were all waiting to hear. Interested to hear Jane's magic number. Now, you said you were going to tell us...
Oh, gosh.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, my gosh.
You said you were going to do it and tell us how many days or weeks you...
My account's actually expired at the moment, so I can't get in there. I've let it lapse. I'm not paying for it anymore, so I get out of it on that count. But when I resurrect it for World of Warcraft Cataclysm. You remember we were talking about Cataclysm?
Yeah.
When I resurrect it for that,
disappointed
we'll know,
us, Jane.
I'm really sorry.
Hey, listen, if it's a big number, don't be embarrassed.
It's a very big number.
Share it with us.
I'm sure it's in several months. Several months.
Clutching the table.
So uncomfortable.
It's time well spent because I've now. The thing is, it's probably. Into the dozens of days of actual gameplay, and now I've let my account lapse. I've got zero, literally zero, to show for all of that. So
I think we need a I'm definitive
rather sad.
Number.
Okay,
so.
Right,
please,
my magic
for the next
number.
One.
I will find a way to reactivate my account, and hopefully it'll still be there.
A couple of comments about Batman, because I was raving about it. But there was Pandyman said, I played the new Batman on the 360. I don't get the hype. Will I get sucked into it after the first boss? Because if I should have been, I guess it just doesn't appeal to me. Yeah, if it's not hit you by the first boss, then it ain't working, I don't think.
Yeah, I think by then you've already come across the game's core mechanics.
Yeah.
The main thrill of it is in feeling like you are Batman and
yeah.
being able to do all the cool moves and grappling and stuff.
And the Asif says, Arkham's pretty good, G-U-D, but I just think it had to be a bit longer. It's a very good game, but not one of the greatest, which it should have been, being a one-player game like Fallout 3 or something like that. Inclusion of multiplayer would have been interesting, but still got in the first day just to show that I'm not hating on the game. There we go. He's not hating on the game. That's good.
Nice.
That's good to know. Now, Nick, you wanted to mention... You've mentioned a phrase to me earlier on that I've never heard in my... Microtransactions. Microtransactions.
Yeah. It's been around for a few years. It seems to be becoming more popular at the moment. And
yeah.
the general idea is that you can pay real-world money to buy something in-game.
Mm.
Now, that's often just downloadable content, a new level or something. But it's being taken on into the realm now where you can buy to unlock stuff that you would normally have to actually play the game and beat the game to get.
That doesn't seem proper. What's wrong with good old-fashioned cheats? Triangle, triangle, XXX, left...
Now you have to pay for it. Oh. I was playing Need for Speed Shift the other day, and obviously, you know, in a racing game, you want to unlock the cars or, you know, earn the credits to buy the cars and then upgrade the cars. But I noticed I was looking at a particularly fancy car, and it was offering me the choice to earn the points for it, or I could pay, I think it was about 70p, to buy the car and have it
That's
instantly...
That's
so,
not right.
Yeah, save me some time.
Yeah, I think that's really bad. It's the thin end of a rather nasty wedge if you end up offering people...
Well, there's a hell in a handcart.
That's a nasty wedge.
Carry on, Nick. I do like this. This is good.
Well, it's giving people the opportunity to just go out, buy a game, and then think, oh, do you know what, I'll just spend another tenner, and so
I'll get the end screen.
It.
Yeah, it's done.
Because now I've got all the best weapons, I've got the top armour, and I can just go and bury it in the lights for the whole game.
John, this raises two things I think we can ask the forum. The first thing is, what do you think about this? Is it worthwhile? Is it something you would do? Would you spend 70p buying an upgrade to a car, you know, spend £1.20 getting new weapons and stuff like that? Is that something that appeals to you? And another thing, I mentioned cheats there. I'm dead against cheats. I don't. It's a similar kind of thing. I don't get the point. A friend of mine, I can't remember what game it was, but he's just completed a game. I said, oh, wow, that's pretty impressive. He said, oh, yeah, I did the cheat, so I had, you know, limitless shield and all of that.
No.
I've never got the point of that. The few times I've done cheats years and years ago, there's no pleasure in playing the game because there's no challenge. Is there? So there's two questions. These microtransactions, would you, could you, should you? And cheats, are you a fan of cheats? Do you use them? Do you think they add anything to the game? Or like me, do you think that they ruin the whole point of it? Anyway, that's probably it for us, I'd imagine.
I think so.
What a lot we've done today. It's a busy show. I hope you enjoyed.
Okay. Right, well, come on over to the forums at tech.uk.msn.com and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Ta-ta.
Bye-bye.
Gamecast from MSN.